We start the Lenten sermon series, the final week, today with the text from Mark, beginning in chapter 11. We all love Palm Sunday, and David explained to us why we were beginning with Palm Sunday earlier today. We love Palm Sunday because Jesus, you know, is greeted as the hero of Israel. Mark's gospel shows us the Jesus we all love who comes in victorious. He's humble, riding on a donkey, being praised with shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Or, as it is translated in the contemporary English version that we are about to read, instead of Hosanna, they say hooray. It just doesn't sound the same, does it? Hooray. Let's read it in this text and then reflect upon that, beginning with the first verse of chapter 11. Jesus and his disciples reached Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives. When they were getting close to Jerusalem, Jesus sent two of them on ahead, and he told them, "Go into the next village. As soon as you enter it, you will find a young donkey that has never been ridden. Untie the donkey and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing that, say, 'The Lord needs it and will soon bring it back.'" The disciples left and found the donkey tied near a door that faced the street. And while they were untying it, some of the people standing there asked, "Why are you untying the donkey?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and the people let them take it. The disciples led the donkey to Jesus. They put some of their clothes on its back, and Jesus got on. Many people spread clothes on the road, while others went and cut branches in the fields. In front of Jesus and behind him, people went along shouting, "Hooray! God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hooray for God in heaven above." After Jesus had gone to Jerusalem, he went into the temple, looked around at everything, but since it was already late in the day, he went back to Bethany with the 12 disciples. The word of God for the people of God. Palm branches waving, children running, a huge crowd gathering, people taking off their coat and laying it in the road for Jesus to ride in on. I mean, there were a lot of people there. They wanted to see the miracle man. They'd heard these stories of Jesus. They heard about the man who walked on water, who miraculously fed 5,000 people. They had heard about this healing of 10 lepers at the same time. They were looking up over each other's shoulders to get a glimpse of this man who came in riding on a donkey with the specific purpose of declaring that he was the king of Israel, of telling the people that he was the anointed one, of declaring Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one who had been promised for centuries by the prophets of God. The people who greet him in Mark are expecting a king like the kings that they know in the world that they live in, an earthly leader. But Jesus has come in a different way to greet them. He will fulfill the prophecies of old, but God's way will be the way that those things are fulfilled, not the way that a government of humanity would fulfill those ways. Hence, what kind of a king is Jesus? I think, anybody remember me holding up this little bitty Bible before and showing it to you? I think I might have once before here at Slash, but I get confused about which group of people I showed it to. My grandparents gave me this Bible in 1968. It is the King James Version of the Bible. And the reason I show it to you now is because right after I received it at Christmas, I was baptized. And my dad was the minister of the church where I attended. Isn't that ironic? My dad was a minister. He preached on Mark 11 on the Palm Sunday when I was baptized. He preached about this text, and he talked about it in a very interesting way. I want to read just one verse from the King James Version of Mark 11 to you. He says, "Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man has set. Loose him." Remember, our version said untie. King James says, "Loose him and bring him." That Sunday, my dad preached a sermon about loosing the colt. And ever since that Sunday, I have always thought about my faith and my belief as having been loosed suddenly on that Sunday when I was baptized, on that Sunday when I said, yes, I too believe in God's love and love God. Because I know that the gospel loosed me that day. I know also that the gospel has the power to loose all of us from the things that are holding us back, that are binding us. It has the power to free me to be the person that God created me to be. It freed me so that I could declare all these bad things that were happening in my life suddenly unlawful. Let me share with you what the Bible says. I mean, the dictionary says. If you look up to loose in the dictionary, it says to unbind, to release from bonds, to set free, to declare unlawful, to overthrow, to do away with, to deprive of authority. I really like using that word to think about my faith. The disciples loosed a donkey on Palm Sunday, and Jesus loosed them on the world to share the gospel. And now we are his disciples, and we have been set free from the things that are holding us back and loosed on the world. What we need to do is go around and free people from the things that are binding them, to loose them, so that God's love can find a place to live and grow in their hearts, so that the kingdom of God can be a reality for everyone. When I look for this Greek word that the King James translates to loose, I find the same word in the Hebrew Bible and the Greek Bible. In Isaiah 58:6, it says, "The bands of wickedness undo the heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free and break every yoke." We are commissioned to loose those who are bound. We are anointed and authorized and empowered to loose humanity. When we look in Luke, we also find the same word in the 13th chapter of Luke. "And a woman there who had been crippled by an evil spirit for 18 years, she was completely bent over and could not straighten up. And when Jesus saw the woman, he called her over and he said, "You are loosed from your illness." And he placed his hand on her, and right away she stood up. Jesus loosed the woman, and she was healed. That same Jesus is here right now, sitting with you, and is ready to loose you wherever you are bound, to straighten you up, to straighten you out so that you can glorify God. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach and teach." And he might as well have said, "Loose the gospel everywhere you go." Because the gospel has the power to free people. Not only you, but when you share it, it can liberate, deliver, and set everybody free when you share it with another. We were loosed on the community on Ash Wednesday this past week. We had maybe 50 people come by. Two of those people were not members of our community of faith. We were loosed to free them from whatever burdens might have been on them that day, from whatever bondage they might have found themselves in. Many people love God, but they don't have a place to pray or worship and serve. And maybe they are trapped or imprisoned because of the circumstances of their lives. God has given us the mission and the ministry to share the gospel with people like that. Some people have never even heard the message of God's love and the gospel. God has challenged us to share that with those who've not heard it and to free our neighbors from their burdens. What kind of a king was Jesus? He wasn't an earthly king like the people expected. And during Lent, each week, we're going to talk about all the ways that Jesus loosed us and freed us from the things that were stopping us from making the kingdom of God a real reality in the world where we live. We are freed by Jesus, the gospel, his story, to build the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Our hymn of invitation today is hymn number 339, "Just As I Am Without a Plea." Please.
Thank you.
You may be seated. As we talked about with the children a moment ago, this Sunday is the first Sunday of the Week of Compassion. Watch this video now.
In Haiti, there's a saying, after mountains, more mountains, and it's true. After an earthquake, then a hurricane where crops are destroyed, homes swept away, loved ones lost. After mountains, more mountains, but here, among the people of Haiti, it's also true that there is hope. And after hope, more hope. Hope in a community that pools its resources to build a school and to pay teachers a living wage. Hope in a small business co-op where women build a bakery, making bread for their families and for sale in the market. Hope in an agricultural co-op that gave Fort Toulouse a low-interest loan so he could reseed his farm. Instead of struggling to pay off high interest rates, Fort Toulouse is able to focus on planting vegetables for his family and trees that will one day reforest a nation. Your gift to Week of Compassion supports communities across Haiti where people are coming together to be there for one another. So come, be a part of the movement. Week of Compassion is here, which means you are here. And when you are here, there is hope. And after hope, more hope.
That film, you saw smiles on faces. Can you imagine living in places that are as destitute as some of these and actually standing there and smiling? And why do you think they're smiling? They're smiling because of people like you, the people like you who give hope, who give of your time, who give of your money to help these ones. 2017, you think, was really a year of a lot of disasters. There were hurricanes, there were tornadoes, there were floods, there were fires. And with each one of those, people lost so much. What you give through your Week of Compassion, you give hope. You give to your neighbors near you. You give hope to neighbors around the world. You give them the ability to smile. You give them clean food, water to drink. You give them the tools that they need to make better soil so that they can plant the seeds to grow the orange tree or the cherry tree or to grow corn. You give them the ability to be able to sustain life, a life that they want so badly, but because of things in life that have happened along the way, it's not quite as easy. So when you give, no matter how big or how small that gift is, you realize you're giving hope. You're putting smiles on those faces. They have reasons to believe that there are people like you who care, who want to help them out, who want to give them a lending hand, something that they can look forward to in the future. So today I'm asking you to think of Week of Compassion and be compassionate and give.